Well, good morning. It is Thursday, and welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thank you so much for tuning in, and you are always welcome to call in as well at 414-1234 if it's local. Long distance from you to us, it's 800-926-8809. Perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address, and at WFSU Perspective if you want to send us a tweet. You know, there's a fantastic fun event taking place in Tallahassee a week from this Saturday. On January 31st, from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, the Museum of Florida History will host the 32nd Annual Children's Day. And the main stage for that particular happening is the R.A. Gray Building, which houses the museum along with the headquarters for the Florida Department of State and all that. But Mission San Luis, the Tallahassee Museum, Challenger Learning Center, a host of other partners are involved too. So this morning on Perspectives, we'll get an advanced peek at what the day will entail and how it's going to be of interest not just for kids, but also grown-ups like us who are into history and art and technology and all the fantastic things that go on in Florida's capital city. So let's go around. Let's see. This is from my left, your right, as you're looking at the radio. Okay. We'll say hi first to Gary Pettit of the Museum of Florida History, which has hosted Children's Day for 32 years and brings all these great community organizations together under one roof and helped to organize this whole hoo-ha. Gary, really good to see you, and thanks for coming in this morning.
Thanks for having us. Good morning.
Right next door to you, Jan Wiley, who we have spoken to before, a Mission San Luis, the historic Spanish mission located right here in Tallahassee and one of the prime archaeological sites on the planet. If you have not been to Mission San Luis, you are missing a lot of stuff other than just archaeological and historical type things, because they got really cool events, and we'll talk about that too. Right, Jan?
Yes, we will. Thanks, Tom.
We will indeed. We also say hello to Claire Micco, former president and current secretary of the Pilot Club of Tallahassee. And in case you are wondering what the Pilot Club is, it's Pilot International is the umbrella, and it's to serve humanitarian efforts through charitable, educational, and research programs in communities throughout the world. Things like Alzheimer's disease, that's one of the bailiwicks for you guys, Claire?
Brain-related disorders is one of the things that we deal with, not research, not funding it, but working with people to try to prevent brain injuries, showing them wear their helmets, take care of their playground safety and being safe with what they do.
God, that is a huge thing right now. We've had several programs about Alzheimer's and other neurological brain-related problems, and she was so props to you guys, and I want to find out just how the Pilot Club and yourself are hooked into the Children's Day activities and all that, so we'll get to that momentarily, okay?
Thank you.
Okay, and if you head right down the street from us, and let's see, you take a quick off Orange Avenue, this would be a left, yeah, you'll find something called the Tallahassee Museum, and old-time Tallahasseans, I'm sure Natasha's flashing me this look here that, like, don't go there. It's still they think of it as the junior museum in some cases. I'm sure you guys get that all the time, right, Natasha?
We do. We get it all the time.
Okay. But still, it is the Tallahassee Museum, and Natasha Hartsfield is director of education at that facility. And God, you guys go back how many years now?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Yeah.
1957 is when we were founded. So,
God, that just seems incredible. Yeah. It was sort of like going to be Tallahassee's little, you know, bit of nature, unspoiled wilderness, and it got animals now. Guest animals just came on deck, I understand.
Correct. Yeah, it did start as that for children primarily back in the day, but we've since grown, and that's why we're now the Tallahassee Museum.
And another terrific resource for the whole Children's Day thing. 30,000-foot overview, Gary Pettit. What? You guys have been doing this for 32 years. Not you personally, but the the Museum of Florida History has been doing it for 32 years. Where did the whole idea come from? Just something fun for the kids to do on a Saturday or what?
Right. Very similar to that. An idea of creating a space and an event centered around hands-on learning. Obviously, we've got a lot of history learning at our museum, and this was a great way to get the community involved, have it be more of an entire community event, and it blossomed into this thing where we bring in these organizations that serve children, and they don't just serve children, but we ask them to focus on what they do for children at this event, and all these organizations come in, and the one requirement we have of them is that they have some sort of hands-on learning activity. We want the children to learn, and we want it to be fun. So that's the requirement that they have to meet.
All right. So if we go to the R.A. Gray building then on the 31st between 10 and 4, what are we going to see and what are we going to be able to do?
You will see thousands of children. I think we had around 3,000 last year, and hopefully this year we'll make it even up to 4,000. But we have performers that happen in two theaters. There's one on the first floor when you walk in, and that's a bigger auditorium. And we've got things like the African Caribbean Dance Theater in there. There's a couple ballet studios that are in there. The Young Actors Theater always does great performances in there. And then downstairs, we also have another theater in the museum. And then there's going to be a karate demonstration. There's a number of singing performances in there. And I think we'll also have some historical weapon reenactment down there. They'll be demonstrating some of the old Spanish explorers' weapons and, you know, what they would have used and what they would have had with them. And then we've also got some wonderful things all throughout the entire first floor and the museum. So throughout the museum, we've got dozens of exhibitors, everything from Smokey the Bear with the Florida Forest Service all the way down to the public library. Leon County Public Library will be there. Of course, the Tallahassee Museum has a wonderful table set up there. WFSU has a table set up down there. So we just have dozens of exhibitors. And, you know, the one requirement we had of them is it's got to be some sort of hands-on learning for the kids.
And for the benefit of the folks who will be bringing the kids to the R.A. Gray building, there is also parking adjoining the museum, so you don't have to park, you know, halfway down to Railroad Square and then walk up the hill, right?
Yes, yes. We have free parking, and it's in the structure that is adjacent to the building. We also have some officers out there helping to direct traffic so that hopefully it doesn't get too congested and it's easy to park and get on in there and have some fun.
Well, Jan Wiley, there is also, as soon as you said there's Spanish weapons, I'm thinking of your pal Paulo, who's one of the reenactors there at Mission San Luis. So what is going to be the involvement of Mission San Luis with all this stuff?
At Children's Day, we are going to have some folks in period costume. We usually have a table full of cool stuff to look at and handle. And there's going to be an activity where they can write with quill pen. So kids can see something before texting.
And before rolling writers. And I had one of those as a kid. We lived, maybe about 200 miles from Colonial Williamsburg. And my uncle went there with his family and brought back a present for me, which was an actual quill pen. I got some ink, which at that time was still available, little ink wells that you could use. Those things are tough. You really got to have some skill to manipulate one of those things.
Well, it helps if you cut the quill correctly. You know, quill comes from a bird. Obviously, it's one of their feathers. So it has to be cut in a nice way that the pen point is like a chisel pen if you ever do calligraphy.
So that's why people used to have to trim the quills before they could actually write with them then.
Right. And, you know, being an artist, I understand that having the right tools makes the job easier.
Boy, that's for sure. Well, Claire Micko, what is the involvement of the Pilot Club of Tallahassee in all this Children's Day activities that's coming up?
Well, we have bicycle helmets that we get through a grant, and so we fit and distribute bicycle helmets at Children's Day to children and adults. Adults need to remember that. They need to be wearing their helmets too. And we also have puppets, what we call brain minders. It's like 10 puppets, and each one talks about a different safety event, like wearing your helmet, look both ways before crossing the street, what to do if there's a fire in your house. And so we have those with us, and 1 year we were on the stage doing the performance, but we aren't doing that this year, but we will have them at the table, and when people come by, we'll tell them and talk to the kids about the puppets and remind them of being safe. And then we'll also have different handouts on bicycle safety, cooking safety, just plain being safe, crossing the street, walking to school, and different giveaway items.
That is, particularly as we get more construction and widening and designated bike lanes and all of that within the city proper, and even going out into some of Tallahassee's outlying subdivisions, that's becoming ever more important. You're seeing more people on bicycles today.
Yes, and like I said, you'll see kids with their helmets on, but their parents will be trailing on their bikes with no helmet. And it's funny because we say to the adults when they're there, do you have a helmet? well, I don't need a helmet, but our kids do. And it's like, well, no, because think about if something happened to you. Think what would do, what happened to your family. So we have a free helmet for you. Just let us try it on and you can take it away.
Yeah, so you're fighting the we be mighty men, our brains don't splatter type of thing, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, pretty much so. Natasha Hartsfield over at the Tallahassee Museum, of course, a lot of developments since 1957 when you guys came online. You'll be involved in there too. So what's going to happen when people come up to the Tallahassee Museum booth? What are they going to see and be able to do?
We're going to have a hands-on table with Red Wolf-related activities. We will not be bringing a Red Wolf. We'll have I believe we're bringing a skull and maybe some pelts and a lot of information on the history and the conservation efforts of the species. But we're doing that to promote, in part, we've just redone our Red Wolf exhibit. So it's going to be completed in a few weeks, and people can come out and take a look at it. But it's also to promote awareness of this critically endangered species.
There's an awful lot of additional interest now in protecting various species, Red Wolf certainly included, but we talk about the iconic manatee, our mm-hmm. official Florida aquatic mammal. Mm-hmm. And now we hear tales of the largest black bear ever found in Florida and sadly had to be put down because of its interaction with humans in central Florida. So there's more of a focus right now. We have a family of coyotes back here behind the station.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it the other day, a coyote wandering through the parking lot. I let it go first, of course. I try to be polite in these regards. I thought, my God, I've never seen one of those here.
I've actually seen one not far from the museum one night. Leaving the museum over on Lake Bradford, I saw one.
Yeah, and let's see, red-tailed hawks we have around here in abundance right now. So, and that's a major part of the Tallahassee Museum's bailiwick, as you said, trying to promote more understanding and conservation of these critters.
Correct. And we are integrating that into our activities at Children's Day.
Children's Day, the 32nd annual coming up, the 31st of this month, which is a Saturday, between 10 and 4 at Tallahassee's R.A. Gray Building downtown. And we have an expert panel to give us a little preview of what's going to be going on. Your input, too, is welcome at 414-1234, 800-926-8809 on Perspectives. We'll be right back. Welcome back on Perspectives as we get a preview, if you will, of the upcoming Children's Day festivities at the R.A. Gray Building, a focus on history and conservation and art and technology and a whole host of things, and not just for the kids either. And Gary Pettit, this is also a good excuse for a lot of folks who whiz by the R.A. Gray Building every day, and they may just out of the corner of their eye see that, oh, that's the Museum of Florida History, but maybe have never been there.
Right. Well, and there's also a large collection of people who maybe have come there as children. They came on a field trip or whatever. And I can pretty much guarantee that most people have a longer attention span when they're adults than when they came on a field trip as a child. So when they come around as an adult, we have many adults that come through and go, oh my gosh, I came as a child, but I had no idea there was so much information and so much history here. This was so enlightening. This was great. I mean, I know people who have come back multiple days in a row because they didn't make it through the first time. And yeah, like you said, you know, people drive by and they see those wonderful, colorful banners out there that say library, archives, museum. And, you know, this is a great opportunity for them to actually come in because, hey, even if you are one of those people who's easily distracted, that's fine. There are tons of activities for you to be distracted with. Then you can go back and read the panels. So,
well, down on the main lower level of the museum proper, you folks did this huge revamp because of La Florida last year. And that's still there, isn't it?
Yes. In fact, it's interesting you ask. We have Forever Changed La Florida. That's our newest permanent exhibit. And the first half of that opened up 2012. And the second half of it is actually going to be opening this April. So that's a huge, huge thing we're working on. We're trying to get all the things in, you know, all the different historic artifacts and all the information and everything up. But yeah, that's a very, very colorful exhibit. It's very hands on. It's very immersive, and that's a wonderful thing that if you haven't been since 2012, you're really missing out because that's a great exhibit to see.
People come from all over the United States to a place like the Smithsonian in Washington, which is of course magnificent and it's huge and it's something that nobody should miss. But we have our own variation of that, slightly smaller scale, but right. Certainly a lot more relevant to those of us who live in Florida. Right there with you guys.
Yeah, and interesting that you mentioned the Smithsonian. We actually have some artifacts that are on loan from the Smithsonian that they own and they have loaned to us saying, hey, you know, these would be in storage and we would rather people see them so you can display them. And one of them is in the Forever Changed La Florida exhibit. But yeah, and we're also the official State History Museum of Florida. So we have wonderful, wonderful history of Florida's people going back all the way to the Paleo-Indians and going up into World War II.
And if you want to see exactly where some of the history took place, Jan Wiley, you just have to pop out to Mission San Luis and you can actually see where there was a Tallahassee before there was a Tallahassee.
That's right. It might have been called San Luis if it weren't for the English attacking back in 1704.
And burning everything to the ground
That's
in 1704.
Right. 1704.
Yeah, yeah. But that overlooked a much larger development the Apalachee tribe had right down the hill from where the mission is now. That was a pretty big settlement, wasn't it?
The Apalachee were so important that they did name the mountain range after them, even though they didn't extend that far north. So their perceived importance was huge. So the Apalachee Indians are relatives, and we have been in contact with the descendants that live in Louisiana.
That's right. Didn't they come back here a couple years ago?
Yeah, they've been visiting different members of the family. The elder, the chief is elderly at this point, but I actually been interacting with his granddaughter on Facebook. So,
so those are the descendants of the original Tallahasseans then?
That's right. Before it was Tallahassee.
Well, for those folks, and I'm sure that always surprises you too, people who maybe even grew up in Tallahassee and have never been to the mission, that they may remember when it was just you know, you go whizzing by on that road and you could see a house back there.
Yes, the Messer House.
The Messer House,
is in the middle of the plaza. It's a 1930s era house, and there are family members of the Messers still in town. We actually had a wedding of that granddaughter a couple of years ago, and their family came back.
But there's been reconstruction following the archaeological excavation of the actual site where now there are replicas of what was actually there back in the day.
Yes. Mission San Luis was populated between 1756. I'm going to try again. That would be 1656 to 1704. So that almost 50-year period where the Apalachee and the Spanish lived together. We have done archaeological excavation, and the buildings that we reconstructed are based on actual archaeology of what existed during that period.
So you have the mission church, you have the refectory where the friars were,
or convento that had where the priests lived or friars lived, and did some practice of singing and choir stuff, and they used their quill pens to write to the king. So, you know, the communication with Spain was important. They were still doing Spain's business, so they their communication back to the original country was important.
And before there was a Florida, even territorial capital, there was a meeting place for policymakers way back in the day, which is that huge council house. How many people can you get in there?
Well, they say between 2,000 and 3,000 people, but that would be some friendly people, I would say. So it's very large. It's 120 feet in diameter and almost 5 stories tall. So it's a wow when you walk in.
Yeah, at the time, certainly the largest structure probably in this part of the country. So, yeah, it's if you have not been to the Mission, that is definitely something you ought to check out. But if you want that foretaste, again, come to the Children's Day at R.A. Gray, because there will be a booth that the folks from Mission San Luis will have there, and you'll be able to get some more information about that and activities and a blunderbuss. Is there any hope there?
I'll have to ask. A blunderbuss is a type of weapon, and we do have folks that shoot them on our – we do have an event in March, our military muster, and there's some folks that actually do fire that black powder weapon.
Yeah, and it's very timely too, because the legislature is in town, so that's always good, you know. Anyway, Claire Micco, again, the Pilot Club, this whole emphasis on keeping kids safe, and that's a huge concern for parents right now. We don't have our children maybe like we did generations ago, where you really had a lot more parental controls, if you will. So that's got to be part of your deal too, is if the kids are out riding around the bikes or whatever, you want to keep them, you know, from hurting themselves.
Well, we do go into the schools, kindergarten through second grade, and we bring our puppet show, the Brainminders, and we've been to several schools in town, and the show takes about 15, 20 minutes, and the puppet speaks, so to speak, about each safety item that they have. And then we have feedback with the kids, they can ask questions, making sure they understood what we were telling them. And it's kind of a reinforcement of something they know, but just needs to be reinforced periodically to let them know they should be doing these things that they have learned about being safe, keeping their body safe, keeping their brain safe, is what we say. We like to tell them once your brain breaks, well, we don't like to tell them, but I mean, we tell them if your brain breaks, it's not going to be able to be fixed. A brain's not fixable. You're going to have some problems, so it's important to keep it as safe as you can. Wear your helmet.
Sure, and a lot more probably awareness of that right now with what's been going on in college and pro sports and concussions and all that kind of thing. But these are still messages you can get down to even the littlest kids.
Right. And there's 30 different pilot clubs in Florida, and a couple of them do focus on the brain injuries with football players, and they do fundraisers to get money to get helmets for the football teams and make sure they have the good ones and keep replacing them when needed.
Yeah, the days of the old leather helmets long gone. I saw one of those the other day. I thought, my God, how'd that protect anybody?
There's actually one in the museum downstairs.
You really? You got one?
We have one on display in the museum, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's great. Well, speaking of history, Natasha Hartsfield, you guys got – oh, I love this because my wife is really into farmhouse antiques. And so you go out to the old farmhouse that you have at the Tallahassee Museum and the old general store / post office and that and the blacksmith shop and all. That is really a time trip.
It is. And we have living history interpreters out there, much like Mission San Luis says they're interpreters, just of a different period. One of our most popular staff members, Miss Judith Strickland, she's always out at the farmhouse baking cookies and working in the garden and that kind of thing. And people really do enjoy that. And she has been to Children's Day a few times. The kids really enjoy seeing her. She goes out in the public and she's like a celebrity.
Well, you got some celebrity critters besides the more exotic wild animals that you have. You've also got all of the farmhouse variety of animals, which always seem to be a huge draw for the kids. Those critters are not lonely. They always have a whole bunch of little kids all swarming around them. And
they do. And I think it's because those animals the kids can touch. People can walk up to them, and if the animal is so inclined to come up to the fence, then the kids and the adults get a chance to touch them.
Yeah, I've seen some very friendly cows out there. Mm-hmm. Very, very needy. But back to the guest animals now. Two-toed sloth? Is that one of the beasts you have?
Yes, Hoffman's two-toed sloth. And then we also have a blue and gold macaws, a red-rumped agouti, which is an interesting little animal. It's in the rodent family, related to a capybara. These are all from Central and South America. Not as large as a capybara, but behavior-wise, similar. And then we also have a crested guan, which is another type of bird, and two types of tortoises.
Where do these animals come from, Natasha?
Central and South America.
But, I mean, as far as getting them on loan to the Tallahassee Museum?
From these – this entire collection came from one particular zoo, and I'm not exactly sure which one that was.
But it's like an animal exchange service sort of kind? Or?
Oftentimes we get them when their enclosures are being worked on in their resident zoo or resident location, and we'll borrow them for that time so that then when they go home to a new enclosure.
But they can say they've been to Tallahassee, if nothing else. In case you're just joining us, welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. We're talking about the 32nd Annual Children's Day festivities coming to the R.A. Gray Building, which is the Museum of Florida History, on Saturday the 31st of this month from 10 until 4. If you missed the first part of the program, fear not, you can check WFSU.org within, probably about 12 hours or so. We will have the program archived up there. Just pull down Perspectives on the radio programs link, and we'll get you right on there. We're talking with Natasha Hartsfield from the Tallahassee Museum, Claire Micco from Pilot Club of Tallahassee, who's involved with the Children's Day activities, Jan Wiley of Mission San Luis, and Gary Pettit of the Museum of Florida History, which has hosted this event for the 32 years. Challenger Learning Center also tied in here too, right, Gary?
Oh, yes. They're actually kind of kitty corner from us in Kleeman Plaza there. They're right down the street from us, and we try to work with them whenever we can, and they're coming. One of the photos that actually I have for publicity is of last year, two children at their table, and they had these wonderful, wonderful experiments, these science experiments, which my knowledge is not in science, so I had no idea how they worked, and I was just as enthralled as the children were watching them do all these wonderful things with the magnets and taking – I think he had a blow dryer, just your standard blow dryer, and he put a ping pong ball on it, and he was like, now watch, I can move the blow dryer, and the ping pong ball will go with the airflow. And I was just, my mind was blown. I had no idea.
Yeah, they do a lot of stuff with, I think, liquid hydrogen, too. I don't know why, but there's always a lot of, dry ice that's melting there, too. Mm-hmm. But the Challenger Learning Center, besides being a great place to go and catch a show about the stars and the planets, and all, there is a planetarium at the Challenger Learning Center. There's also an IMAX theater, which is the largest, I think, IMAX screen probably in about a three-state area, 72 feet wide, some humongous. If you've never seen that size of an IMAX screen, and with a 30,000 watt sound system that they have, then that's something that you need to check out there too. You can also go to the moon if you'd like to. they have one of those things, as I understand. Some other events coming up at Mission San Luis, if you would, Jan, because you had mentioned just in passing military muster that's coming up.
Yes, military muster is on Saturday, March 14th, from 10 to 4. We're doing that on the second Saturday of March, and it will be Spanish and Appalachian military life in the western capital of La Florida. And it focuses on the lives and tasks of soldiers, which includes both Spanish and Appalachian. There'll be pageantry and black powder firings of muskets and cannons. And there'll be things for kids to do and lots of things to watch and take part in.
Well, your buddy Paulo said probably we'll have the garrison from St. Augustine come over too,
yes,
right?
Yes, they traditionally come for that event, and so they've been a great addition. They used to bring their cannon over, and now we have our own cannon to fire, and we also have people training to be on the black powder weapons team. So we have our own crew, and they are doing regular firings on Saturdays of the muskets and occasionally the cannons. And they often do their charges. They have leftover charges. And so like Monday or Tuesday, we often get an email saying you're going to hear some cannon firing. It's a great place to work.
But it's even greater for parents who want their kids to get a taste of what things were really like. I very seldom have I seen a reenactor at Mission San Luis break character. They really keep it as authentic as possible, and it's the type of full immersion history that you can't find anywhere. You can't get this in a book. You can't go on YouTube and find a video of it. You've just got to get the kids there and put them into this is the way things were like in 1690. Okay,
yes.
Here's what people ate. Here's how they lived. And it's just fabulous. And there aren't too many facilities that are like this one anywhere in the country, right, Jean?
Well, we have, as Natasha said, there are other places that do living history, but we are certainly one of the few that combine both native population and a colonial population that intermixed. And so, and our council house is pretty unique. It's pretty large and amazing structure.
Yeah, great acoustics too. If you want to hear music in a way you've never heard it before, if anyone is playing, whether it's an acoustic guitar or there's a drum circle or anything else going on inside that council house, there's just something that is amazingly mysterious about whatever sounds are produced within that structure, because it's a cone.
Yes, and we had a drum circle there for our solstice event. Folks joined in to learn drumming, and it's everybody that's a musician wants to play in there.
We'll see if we maybe record some CDs or something. We'll get a hold of Grand Peebles or something. Say, hey, you want to cut your next record there? That'd be really cool. We're talking about Children's Day and many, many other historical resources that we have right here in Tallahassee. And you are invited to give us a ring, too, at 414-1234. Or if it's long distance, 800-926-8809. Perspectives@WFSU.org is the email address, and we shall return. Think how many miles you may have traveled years and years ago to find some, authentic, fascinating history. And then come to realize that, gosh, we got a whole bunch within just 2 or 3 miles of the house. That is, if you live in Tallahassee, because this is one of the most historic places in the entire state of Florida. And it's so easy to take for granted because we live here and we go by these sites all the time and don't think anything of it except, man, since they two-laned Gaines Street, everything's a mess and I can't get to where I need to go as quickly as I used to. But you may be going by something that is not to be found anywhere else in the world. So that's what Children's Day is all about. And if you're just joining us, this is the topic of the day here on Perspectives, the 32nd Annual Children's Day under the auspices of the Florida Museum of History and a whole bunch of other partners throughout the city who are involved in such things as history and the arts and archaeology and technology and all that kind of thing. So first, Gary Pettit, we can go back and just a quick recap. This will be on Saturday, 31st, 10 to 4, R.A. Gray. What happens?
Yes. So it's dozens and dozens of exhibitors, over a dozen performers, and they're all related to some kind of educational and child-focused initiatives. And we require that they bring hands-on activities for the children to learn from. That's the only requirement we have of the people who come to exhibit. And then the performers do wonderful performances. We ask that they do it so that it's accessible to the children. It doesn't have to be necessarily a child show, but it has to be something that would appeal to them. And one of the most popular that we always have is the African Caribbean Dance Theater. They just blow the speakers off the system. I mean, they're great. Everybody loves listening to them. And then we also have a temporary exhibit too that's going on right now, Civil Rights in the Sunshine State. And that's going to be open up. The Riley House, which helped us with that exhibit, the Riley House Museum is also going to be at Children's Day.
Oh, terrific.
They're one of the many, many exhibitors that come to Children's Day.
And coming up, of course, on February
Yep,
which February. Is Black History Month and yep. all of that. And I hear that Altamise and her gang down at the Riley House Museum, they've got a whole bunch of things that they are lining up for
yes,
that observance.
We've actually got Altamise is coming to the museum in February for Black History Month. We've got a number of things. She's actually going to be there on February 13th. She's going to be part of a panel discussion of civil rights pioneers at 5:30 p.m. So. Yeah, well, so we're working with them on that too.
Well, even before the civil rights era of the 1960s, there was what was going on just a couple of miles away up in Mission San Luis in the 1660s. And Jan Wiley, that's where you guys come in. You will be, what, encouraging kids to blow stuff up, or what's the hands-on the mission has?
At Children's Day, we'll be doing quill pen activities so they can learn to write with a dipped pen and ink, and they can look at people in period costume and talk with them about the history of our site.
Yeah, and that was also a tough time for kids, though, because they were expected to be almost little adults from the time they were like 6 or 7 years old back in the day.
Well, there were a lot of kids in a family that helped out, so everyone had their job. That's what they knew.
Yeah, I got to do things like help with the food preparation and all of that sort of thing. So yeah, no sitting around texting and watching YouTube videos, that's for sure. Back in the day. Okay, well, Claire Micco, the Pilot Club of Tallahassee involved there from a safety aspect, but you're bringing a lot to that table, right?
Right. We will have our bicycle helmets that we'll fit and distribute for free to adults and children, and we'll have our puppets that will reinforce safety items that the children already know and the adults, so that it just brings it to their attention again what they need to do to be safe.
Meanwhile, over at the Tallahassee Museum, Natasha Hartsfield will be letting the kids know about what is available over there, but with an emphasis also on wolves, I understand, right?
That's correct. They're going to learn all about the red wolf and why it's important.
Well, and why are they important? Really, when's the last time that we actually saw a red wolf? We talked about the coyote that lives back behind this building.
You're not going to see one in this region. They have been extinct in this region for quite some time. But there is a population of them that's at Alligator River in North Carolina. It's a wildlife refuge. It's the only population of them. They are an apex predator, meaning they're at the top of the food chain. So any animal that is at the top of the food chain is very important within an ecosystem.
And endangered, too, because what they eat, their prey, gets displaced because of development and all that.
And oftentimes when an apex predator is taken out of the situation, the food source just beneath them tends to overpopulate, and then you have subsequent problems within the ecosystem. Say, deer were to populate too much, and then they would eat all of the browse and saplings, and then smaller animals wouldn't have food to eat, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I was thinking in terms of the white-tailed deer that have exploded in population in some parts of the country right now, where mm-hmm. they have actually become a pest. So. Okay. All right. This is an opportunity to talk about just about anything you guys want to address as far as upcoming events or initiatives or whatever. Gary Pettit, let's start with you in the museum.
Yeah. So we've got Children's Day, obviously. That's our biggest event we're coming up. Just want to mention also that's free parking, free admission too. Everything, it's all free. There are some activities that cost tickets. For example, face painting is ever popular. And I think that costs 3 tickets, but the tickets are 50 cents a piece and you can purchase them in advance or the day of. But parking and admission and all the performances and all the exhibitors, it's all free. And then in February, we've got this whole African American History Month that we're doing. We've got tours on Wednesdays. Every Wednesday at 10 a.m., we're going to have tours of the museum focusing on African American history. February 13th, we've got a civil rights panel at 5:30 p.m. February 24th, we've got Dr. Anthony Dixon talking about a book he just wrote. And then February 27th, we've got another civil rights panel of civil rights pioneers, all women, in preparation for Women's History Month in March.
Oh, boy.
Nice.
That doesn't give you a lot of downtime in between events, does it?
No, we are very, very busy. And then the one weekend we don't have an event there. February 14th, we'll have a little hands-on children's activity. But we're also going to be over at the Tallahassee Museum then. So they'll come to our place on January 31st, and then February 14th, we head out to there.
So. A little cultural exchange. That's really cool. Okay. Jane Wiley, up at the Mission San Luis, you got a whole bunch of stuff too. And
yes, we have what we call Share the Love, an event on Sunday, February 8th. That's Sunday, February 8th. We're celebrating our friends and followers, social media members, volunteers, and the rest of the community. And we have a special theatrical performance by our Theater with a Mission group. And they're doing a historic Indian-Spanish wedding at 2 p.m. And this is an imaginative, dramatic presentation of multicultural betrothal and wedding that would be set in 1703, since some of the Spanish men married Native women at Mission San Luis since they were in the colonies. This event is free to everyone who likes us on Facebook. I'm doing a poor job of getting the numbers Mr. Gary has.
But yeah, we just reached 7,000 today, so we're happy.
Yeah, listen to him.
So
envious.
So envious. We need to beat him. Come on, Mission San Luis. Friend us. So we have, for that event, we've got Cupid's Archery School. So come out and do archery and learn what atlatl is and how to do it. We have free hot chocolate, scavenger hunts, and love tours where our interpreters will tell a story, a love story of their historic character. And there's going to be a photo booth and Valentine's you can make for area seniors so you can share some love beyond your own family. We mentioned the military muster on Saturday, March 14th. This weekend, we need gardening volunteers. If anyone out there can help us do gardening, we need to maintain our gardens and help prepare for spring planting. There'll be a lunch and learn with that with free pizza. So check out our Facebook events page or call us at 245-6406. So we have workshops, cooking workshops, blacksmithing workshops, charcoal making workshops. Check out our website or our Facebook page to find out more.
Okay. Well, is that pizza be 17th century Spanish pizza or what?
I think that one we're time traveling forward
a
little
bit. You had mentioned, though, Jan, archery, and it is a never-ending source of amazement and amusement to me to go out there on a Saturday and see the 11 and 12-year-old Katniss Everdeen wannabes. So just – they are so serious, and some of them are so good when it comes to archery out there.
Yes. Paula says that we have a core group of young girls that come out every weekend, and we are open every Saturday doing at archery. So his criteria are they have to be as tall as the bow – and be able to show them three fingers. And if they can do that, they can shoot an arrow.
And some of them do it very, very well. I was terrified at just how accurate this one and she was barely the height of the bow. Mm-hmm. But just as focused and serious as you could possibly be. And she had the full Katniss getup. I'm going, did this come from? I was waiting for Jennifer Lawrence to drop out of the sky or something. That was pretty wild. Let's ask you, Claire, to give a plug not only for the Pilot Club but some other things you guys are involved with, okay?
Well, we're partnered with the Alzheimer's Project on Project Lifesaver, which are the tracking bracelets for Alzheimer clients and also autistic and Down syndrome children. And we actually started that in Tallahassee through a grant that we got and did the initial cash outlay to get that started. And we also partnered with the Leon County Sheriff's Office on that. We also partnered with the Alzheimer's Project on the annual Alzheimer's Seminar and Disease Conference, which will be February 21st at the College of Medicine at FSU. And again, we started that 30 years ago in Tallahassee. One of our members' father had Alzheimer's and there were no resources local. So they reached out throughout the state and started bringing people in. It's gotten too big for our club to handle now, but we partner with them. We do the Continental Breakfast and the registration for them. We also partner with the Gretchen Everhart School, and we've been fortunate enough to get grants to get them needed equipment, and we've also provided them with bicycle helmets because one of the activities the children have is go out and ride their bikes, and they didn't have helmets. And we go to their dances and take pictures of the kids and give them their pictures and help, you know, be there with them when they're dancing. We sponsor a high school club called the Anchor Clubs, and they're sponsored by Pilot. And we have a club at McClay, one at Leon, and one at Childs. And we've started something about 4 years ago doing a patriotism essay contests. And we do one in the fall for Veterans Day and one in this time of the year for President's Day. And we just did the kickoff Tuesday at McClay. And we do with fourth graders at a different school each contest that we have.
Oh, my gosh. You are one of the busiest service clubs in town then. My golly.
We are busy. We'd like to be more well-known.
Okay. And where does the funding come from things like the helmets and other programs that you have?
We do fundraisers. Our biggest one is pecan sales that we do every November. And we also this year are doing a cookbook fundraiser. And that's pretty much where we get our money from. So we just keep busy and plug along.
Oh, you want to worthy cause? Then check out the Pilot Club.
And we do have a Facebook page, too.
Okay. So like them, too.
Like us, too.
And let's like the Tallahassee Museum, right, Natasha?
Yes, like us.
Okay. And what else is cooking with you guys besides the new guest animals and all that that's going on now?
Well, this weekend we have a workshop coming up on how to start your peppers and tomato seeds during this time of the year so that you have them to plant in spring. And the next event we have coming up is the Saturday Matinee of the Arts in conjunction with FSU's opening nights. It's a free day at the museum from 9 to 5. There's an array of organizations there, including the Museum of Florida History. Lemoyne will be there. There's lots and lots of organizations and kids' activities and adult activities, too. The stage will be alive with dancers and musicians. The Maritime Heritage Group from Panacea will be there as well, and they're going to be doing a boat-building demonstration, which should be pretty fun, in addition to our regular scheduled Saturday stuff like, you know, living history and animal encounters and historic building docents and that kind of thing. That evening, we have another event. It's for adults only. It's called the Frolics of Florida. And it is, you'd have to register. It's generally couples that register for it. But it's a very lively, fun event that starts off with a cocktail hour and focuses on the mating behaviors of the animals on our trail. And then we take you out on a...
How romantic.
A nice trail. It is. It's popular. Over the past few years, it's gotten quite popular. So sign up for that if you're looking for something to do on Valentine's Day with your lovey. And then in spring, we have a variety of other things coming up, lots of workshops. As far as the workshops go, I would just say check our website at www.tallahasseemuseum.org. Our Jazz and Blues Festival will be on April 24th and 25th. Oh, I'm sorry, 25th and 26th.
Okay, and then in conjunction with right around that time of springtime, Tallahassee, we get into the Pioneer Breakfast and all that kind of thing.
Pioneer Breakfast will be on the 25th of April.
And then it all comes around, and then we're doing market days out at the fairgrounds. Another incredibly busy organization that you are affiliated with there.
Yes, definitely. That one takes place in December, so that's a bit off.
Yeah, but that's okay.
It's right around the corner. Don't remind me.
My wife is already planning the assault, so don't worry. that never ceases to also amaze me to a degree, too, just how busy all of these different organizations are. And it's not just, oh, we sit back and wait for the people to roll in. There are all manner of special promotions and events and cooperative partnerships that that make this a fascinating place to be. There is no reason why anyone should ever sit home on a weekend in this part of the country and say there is nothing to do.
Well, and a lot of our organizations, we try to plan things together. We try to plan with each other so that we don't overlap our big events, and so that we can collaborate with the different organizations. You know, I mean, we love working with the other museums around town. We love working with the different institutions. So, yeah, we always try to work together so that there's always something fun for Tallahasseeans to do.
Well, Gary, the 32nd Annual Children's Day, a prime example of this with just not only the folks around this table, certainly, but the many other people who were involved as well. Oh, and we have to give a plug then for the Making Awesome folks that they're involved there too, right?
Yes, they this is their first time coming, and they're bringing their 3D printers. We have set them up somewhere so that they will have electricity. We don't know exactly what they're going to be making, but they will be bringing their 3D printers and printing out some sort of three-dimensional thing.
I better give Dave Brightbill a call and say, okay, what's up, guys? What are you going to do? There's been so much controversy about 3D printing, you know, but this will be totally above board. It'll be great. Mm-hmm. Folks, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about the upcoming Children's Day, and hope you have a huge turnout, and thanks again for letting us in on what's going on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Perspectives produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee. Taylor Cox is on the board today, and Lida Rawls handling all of the cybernetic interface. I'm Tom Flanagan, and hope you can join us again next week. More expert opinion and your input, too, coming up right here on Perspectives.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.